Okay, it's Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. It's 7 p.m. and this is the Sustainability Commission meeting. I'll go ahead and do the roll call. Julie Moeller.
Here.
Eric Simon.
Here.
Shannon Roberts. Beth Chang.
Here.
Andrew Basney.
Here.
Lisa Gillis. Susan Charette.
Here.
Okay. There isn't any public comment.
Ellie's here.
Ellie Wright.
Yes. Here.
That's right. Sorry.
No public comment? Okay. Great.
Okay, so we'll go to the adoption of the meeting minutes from October 8th, 2019. Any discussion?
I didn't have any changes.
Changes?
Any comment? Anybody get a chance to read them? Okay, quiet crowd tonight. I move that we approve the minutes.
Okay. I'll do the vote. Julie Moeller.
Yep.
Eric Simon.
Yes.
Beth Chang.
Yes.
Andrew Basney.
Yes.
Susan Charette.
Yes.
Okay. And how about the minutes from December 10th, 2019.
I'll just say when we adopt them that I could take off the words draft that I accidentally left on there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, again, I thought you did a nice job on those. So I move that we approve the minutes from 12:10.
Okay, Julie Moeller.
Yep.
Eric Simon.
Yes.
Beth Chang.
Yes.
Andrew Basney.
Yes.
Susan Charette.
Yes.
Okay, we should be all caught up on the minutes now, right? Are we missing anything?
No, I think November.
Yeah, November, which is me.
Okay.
Okay, okay. That's pretty good.
I'll have that done by November this year.
Okay, sounds good. And who would be taking minutes tonight? Don't all answer at once.
We should just go in
for
order.
November, yeah. So who's next? So you did Andy, you. Is it Shannon's turn? All right.
Poor Shannon.
We'll give you a minute.
Mm-hmm. My turn to
minutes. Hi, Shannon. How are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. Yeah. Seems like that was a really long time ago. So we'll just jump into commissioner reports and updates. Eric, if you want to start.
So this, we met in December, right? So this would be stuff that happened in December or January.
Yeah.
I'll pass. I don't think I attended meetings and during the holidays. So.
Yeah.
I'll pass as well. I think there was one Planet Green meeting. It was mostly a recap of the breakfast and sort of what's next for next year, but nothing, okay. Nothing to report.
Great. Right, Ellie, what's new? Yeah.
So for the school supply thing, I've spoke to Ann Harmon on the District 90 school board. And we've both been reaching out to the District 90 schools about the supply change. And Ann and Mr. Garski have been working together and have sent out a survey to all the teachers at Roosevelt. And they found a lot of supplies that could be ordered in bulk for the year following this year. It's too late to change it for this year, like next year, but it will be changed. So that's great. And then I also reached out to Lincoln and Willard, but they haven't responded to me yet.
Who'd you contact there?
The principals.
Principals, okay.
Mm-hmm. And It's Our Future and the Enviro Club at LPRF worked, and we got composting in the schools. and banned styrofoam trays. So we got the both of the big things done. So that's good for 2020. And there are some, like, issues with composting, but we're working on it. And there's also going to be a podcast starting soon for It's Our Future.
Great. I hope you share that with us. Yeah. So I like how Ellie just kind of casually mentions that, and then we're going to work on compost and no styrofoam. This has been it going on for 10 years, at least. So applause to the students who finally got it done.
Pushing it over the finish line.
That is just huge. Can you tell us a little bit more about how it will roll out? Do you, or if you have any details? I know it's still all very new, but.
Well, there are definitely going to be a lot of problems with getting the students to actually compost. So my mom and I have been, like, talking about it. And we're going to see, because their idea is to just, like, have some of the students from the Enviro Club just, like, stand by the bins and tell the kids where to put their stuff. But I don't think that very many kids, like, I don't even, like, want to give up my lunch period to, like, stand by the bin. But, like, I would if it was, like, necessary. But we think that if we could start with just having a separate place where the kids who know how to compost could participate, and nobody, like, has to, but those who want to and are educated about it could do it.
That's a good idea. Yeah, it'll be a process, but it's...
I equated it to the opt-in program for us that initially you need to get the people who actually care, because you can't make everybody separate.
Yeah, no, that's
but
good.
Hopefully
then by example. Yeah, and the signage and everything. So it's Our Future Kids. So are the It's Our Future and the Environmental Club, do they work in tandem, or are they separate, or are all the kids who are kind of in the Environmental Club and the It's Our Future?
Not all of them. There are a lot of kids in It's Our Future who aren't in Environmental Club and vice versa.
Okay.
But myself and Charlotte Meyer and Charles Roger are all shared. And there's these two other girls who have recently joined that I don't know the names of yet. I will learn them tomorrow.
Okay. Just curious. So that's really good news. And no styrofoam. So will they be using regular trays?
Yeah, only regular trays. They just aren't using styrofoam anymore.
Wow. That's great. It would be so cool to measure if they could. I don't know, but you can think about measuring some of the impacts.
That's cool. Is
everything... So how does it work now? Is everything styrofoam, or...
They use styrofoam during when it was late arrival.
Oh, that's right. Like the
so twice
the
a month they used because it was a timing issue for them.
So you could probably measure it just by
ordering
how many orders they get for pre-arrival. Yeah. That's
but yeah, that's really big news. So that's green energy and now composting. I tell you, what's happening? So good job. You are being very effective in your freshman year. They were just waiting for you.
I'm a little curious if it just, not to take too much time with this, but what was the official process for getting it approved? Did you just have to get the administration to sign off on it?
Charles and I went to a board meeting and just spoke to the board about it, and some of them reached out to members of the people. I don't know what their official name is, but
Board of Ed, or
I don't remember, but they worked towards it, and there were a lot of other clubs that were working towards it, so they all just kind of meshed, which was good.
Well, congratulations again.
Thank you.
I
didn't really have. I've had some one-off meetings. I met with Gary Kunin today about energy. I've spoke at the breakfast in December. Kind of stuff that's long faded. So I will say that there have been several students at the high school who emailed me for information, some from It's Our Future and a couple from a physics class asking for information on how the Sustainability Commission works and if they could help. So I don't know, I've responded to them, and it just seems like a lot of kids are kind of reaching out and getting support from their teachers to contact their prospective villages and stuff. So maybe something will come from that. I copied Ellie on that just in case you knew any of the kids. I copied you on the emails but that's why I copied you, just in case, you know, somebody said something. But that's all the updates I have as well. So, John, do you have any exciting updates?
Not really. No, the holiday lights recycling last day is tomorrow for that.
Ooh.
So get your holiday lights in there.
Both containers are full.
Oh, and I put the Soul Smart Award on the wall as you come in, finally.
Hey. We missed it.
We were just pondering where to put it for a long time, so I just
picked
that spot.
Thank you. That's exciting.
It's on display.
Good. We'll take a picture. Good.
That's it.
All right. Well, maybe I can do a quick update on Beth and I worked over the holidays a little bit to push forward developing a greenhouse gas inventory.
Yeah.
So I brought, it's coming. This is a very, very preliminary draft, but I can walk you through kind of where we're at and where we need to go. But it can start to kind of give us a picture of what I think, kind of where we're headed, you know, identifying what are our impacts for greenhouse gases and how we can look at goals and how they're being affecting things.
Thank you. And Lisa will be here. She's just running late. This is really exciting.
I'm excited too because I feel like I've got my arms around it. This is kind of just
extra. No, thanks.
So the biggest thing to start, we are using. There's a number of standards and protocols out for measuring greenhouse gases, kind of depending on who you are. We are using what is called the ICLEI U.S. Community Protocol for accounting and reporting of greenhouse gas inventories. And it's a, you know, basically it's a U.S. recognized standard that walks you through the steps of coming up with what your greenhouse gas inventory is. All the different sources that you could potentially have. And how you calculate them individually to add them to your inventory appropriately. I selected that one based on the fact that it was identified by the Carbon Disclosure Project, which is a globally recognized program for, you know, reporting greenhouse gases. Companies have been doing it for years. They rate companies. They are also collecting data from communities. Major cities like Chicago have been doing this for a long time. Evanston has had a greenhouse gas inventory since 2005, for example. So CDP is like the global collection of data, and we got invited to report last summer, and we weren't really ready for that, but we could start to maybe report some data this summer in July. So I used that protocol. Basically, I went through and I identified what our main... I leveraged data that we already had. So one of the big things is to get the 2019 kind of calculation done. We shouldn't expect major changes from 2019,
yeah.
Though, right? So I went ahead with data we already had available just to kind of start getting this kind of calculation framework built. But I think the biggest thing is, the biggest thing is identifying what you would call are your greenhouse gas sources. So what that protocol did was it was able to walk me through what you would consider your major source categories are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the table that you see. And I think there's a few small opportunities to add in here, a few other categories, like we could call out specifically diesel or gasoline being used by village trucks or, you know, service vehicles. It's going to be very immaterial to the overall greenhouse gas inventory, but we could get really nitty gritty with a lot of different sources. I think overall I've captured kind of the major ones, and I like round of applause to the Planet Green report card because they really capture the main categories that
right.
You know, you would consider as part of your greenhouse gas inventory. And they did do greenhouse gas calculations for energy sources, so for all the natural gas use and electricity.
Yeah, they did break it out.
Mm-hmm. So I kind of just took what other additional data I could from there to continue to build out some of these other things that you can you know, look at greenhouse gas impacts from.
So just to go through our sources really quickly, it would be natural gas use in the village, electricity, all of our vehicle use. This one's kind of hard to track, but yeah, we actually had a decent, we had mile, you do it based on vehicle miles traveled within the village.
Yeah.
And we can talk, Julie,
within
about
the village itself. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
So they, Planet Green had miles, and I guess I can dive into how accurate that data is, where it comes from, and all that. So that's kind of some of the further steps for refinement. But this is kind of idea of vehicle miles traveled based on River Force vehicles for last year. I think we need to include the freight trains that are going through the village. That's something that's recommended to be included, and we'll need to kind of go there. Your next big category is around waste. So obviously, state, you know, general waste, your MSW, municipal solid waste, is your worst waste impact because of all of the, you know, methane you're producing in landfills. So all the waste diversion programs that you guys have been doing and how successful they are, that makes pretty big impacts on your greenhouse gas inventory. So you can see where for compost and recyclables, we get some diversion that we can include in our inventory. Water and wastewater energy use. This one's going to be a smaller number, but you are supposed to include the amount of water you're sending to your water treatment facilities and all of the things that come from, like, basically all the energy that's being used and produced in that as part of your digesters and things like that, and water treatment. And then the last category that I felt like Lisa would be really excited about when she gets here is you can take credit for all your forest.
Okay.
What they want you to do year over year is track changes in forests, which hopefully we don't have a lot of here in River Forest, but we can look at what our current carbon, you don't look at it as a carbon dioxide, you look at it as just what your carbon
sequestered.
Yeah, they had a term for it. I started to get into
more like
that one.
Clean air. It's not like what it's sequestering, right? What it offers to the,
it's kind of your total carbon, and you can count your total carbon in your current forest, both in the trees and in the soil. And then from there, I started to get into this last few days, is looking at, based on, you know, canopy coverage, you can come up with kind of how much CO2 you're taking out of the air. So that's another thing that
we can
comment
on that one, just because there is some information on that from there's a River Forest Urban Forest summary that
awesome.
We've been talking about, and they make calculations. They seem to be more based on cost, but you should be able to back out of there how they're arriving at that.
Okay. So. Yeah, and there was a tool that was recommended being used. So it needs more time, and I need to figure it out more. But anyways, that's kind of the main source categories. So I mean, hopefully this kind of gives you an idea of where we're headed. And I think overall, even our basic number on 2018 right now seems reasonable when I kind of compared it to Evanston, for example. You know, if you take into account area and our populations versus theirs,
seems to be about,
and the fact that we don't have a lot of industry, it seems pretty reasonable where we're at. So things I'm going to add to this are just going to make it better, more accurate. But I think we've got the material sources kind of figured out at this point, and we can continue to talk about it from here. So
this is, congratulations, this is really wonderful. I would say that, you know, I know that none of it's going to be perfect. I think all that's important as we move forward is just to make notes of how it was, you know, to show what inventory model we used, and to state that whenever we present this information, so that whenever it's passed on, somebody knows, oh, it was included, this wasn't included, you know. But because the numbers are never going to be great, but this is a great start just to show how these things can, you know, what we're doing makes a difference from diversion. I have a couple of questions.
Yep.
So passenger vehicles, it's gasoline. Do we then take, okay, if we know we have 100 license permits for electric vehicles, do we then put that in the diverted?
Oh, we could calculate everything.
Okay, well,
so we, there's, but I was, and there's ways to do it that if we get that data. Yeah.
Okay, and then when you do waste, is that just goes to landfill, or does that include pickup? like the trucks driving on the streets to pick up the waste and going to the, because I noticed on here you had a question like, where does it go? Because the waste first goes to Maywood and then it gets picked up and it goes to DeKalb.
So it does. I used, I actually, for you can use, I didn't use the protocol. I used the EPA warm modeling for waste pickup because I would have need to know a crazy amount of really detailed things about our waste treatment. And, you know, those are, that's a refinement we can make. But I think the warm modeling is extremely reasonable and it does include mileage.
Okay, the warm model is good. So I can get you the mileage to Lakeshore for recycling and the warm model, or the DeKalb miles.
Perfect. Yeah, and if you give me the facilities, I think I could probably do some quick public research to get some more specific.
And the wastewater is Stickney, I think, is so. Yeah. Oh, and yeah, and we can get you the number of so this is great,
and thanks to Beth for all of her help.
I was just the thought partner.
But still,
you know, I was thinking a couple things after getting it to this stage about how we'll be able to hopefully use it. And I guess one of the questions that I'll just put out there, I don't think there's a definite answer to it, but is, you know, just how much of an impact we'll be able to show from, like, you know, 20 pollinator gardeners or the compost from the high school. I mean, hopefully we'll be able to, well, we will be able to quantify it, but that's just a big picture question that I think all of us, you know, we all feel like we need to do what we can do, and I think every bit makes a difference. But if we'll need to think, I guess, about how to convey it so that people feel like it matters, right? As opposed, and ultimately one question would be, how does this metric tons of CO2, you know, if you divert X amount or something, I struggle with how we show, well, what is that impact on the ultimate goal of, you know, decreasing global warming or whatever. I mean, numerically, it's probably just small because we're a small village, so we might need to think in terms of, like, we're modeling certain behaviors and a way of thinking about it. And if all small villages, you know, in the state of Illinois did it, it would add up to something huge. Right.
That's the story we want to tell.
The story. And the other thing I was wondering, Shannon, would it be accurate if we were to come up with a sort of a more user-friendly way to describe this inventory? For example, could we, from a marketing point of view, call it something like, what's our carbon footprint? Or is that, like, not really an accurate translation?
I need to look, but we have to be careful because all these things have, like, you know,
definitions.
Yeah. And usually you go with the EPA definition. So I know, so the other handout I gave was Evanston's, and they started their inventory back in 2005. It's, and you'll see, like, they've further refined theirs more and more over time. And what I think is really cool about theirs is they've reduced theirs over time by 24% since 2005.
What other
Sorry, maybe I didn't give it to you. I've got an extra too, so if someone didn't get it. But, you know, I think this is, like, a nice, I'm sure they're also, I mean, they have a sustainability director, so.
Yeah, I know.
But, like, I think we, but, like, this is what the vision can be. And I mean, and now that we know where our levers are, we can think about, like, if we make a significant renewable energy change, you know, that can make a pretty nice divot. Municipal solid waste, I didn't give you the colored copy of the pie diagram, but it's the third biggest pie in it. If we got rid of a ton of MS, like, municipal solid waste, that makes a divot. So, I mean, there's places where we can, you know, there's some places where we can make some more room.
Again, I do think this is the goal. I do think it tells the story. And I personally like community greenhouse gas because greenhouse gas is what we're trying. Carbon footprint, it gets a little wobbly. I think I like the, you know, keeping greenhouse gas because that's what it really is. So, just as a side note. But yeah, we'll have to digest this. And next steps, how can we support? Or does anybody else have any other questions regarding the work? I think it's.
I have a question. So this is really good work. Should we also somewhat follow the model of what Evanston's table looks like as well? Because I'm almost thinking it's nice to have, you know, a partner in this with someone who's done a lot of the legwork. May make it little bit easier to format, or, you know, in terms of comparing River Forest to other communities in Chicagoland, mm-hmm. to sort of map it out by, you know, obviously we're much smaller than Evanston, but right. having some sort of a comparative that way. I mean, a lot of the data is ready here. It's just a thought.
It's yeah. putting it in that format, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just kind of changing some of the...
Some of the things aren't applicable that are going to be on the table for Evanston or what yeah. have you for us. And they have many years of data already, but we don't have that. But
yeah, not, and they, I mean, yet. It's kind of, I didn't put the super sophisticated titles in my sources.
Oh, but, yeah, yeah.
But, like, we, yeah, I mean, in general, it, yeah, I totally agree. We can
yeah, like this. They have CTA and, rail on here. That's cool. So, like, Metro, CTA. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
But if, yeah. if most, you said most of this data came from Planet Green?
Yes, and some waste data I had from Julie.
So if that's the case, then we should be able to go back. You know, once you determine the categories and which one, we should be able to go back.
I think we
and
just
maybe
started.
Not.
Oh,
do
yeah.
it, maybe
yeah.
not do it every year, but maybe look at 5 years ago.
Yeah, and I built all the data with the dream of doing that, but but like I don't have waste data year over year. There's a couple categories I don't have it, so we can't do the year, but we certainly can go back if we have the data and map it all out. But yeah, we do have the data. Again, round of applause. Whoever talks to Planet Green, they have been doing a great job
yeah,
of collecting
I mean,
data. So.
It's every 2 years, so 2012, 2014.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I have it. Yeah, I didn't have a few of the, like the, yeah, we can go back. I just need some of the waste breakdown.
What would be nice is if, you know, I don't know, like, could Susan, could you, like, pull out, like, maybe create a little bit
yeah,
of
was fine.
Past one so that. If it, once I could figure out what things were,
I have the I have all the data and I have all the formulas done. That was kind of like, so yeah, I can do it. The only I think I need waste. The waste breakdown is the biggest thing. Like I need.
Actually, and I'm working. We're working on trying to get that going back anyway, separate, distinct from.
I have it.
So I would need the waste breakdown since 2007.
I have from 2007 till now.
We can make assumptions about the vehicle miles traveled because they have it also that also back since 2007, but they were grouping them in like 3-year segments, so we can just divide them by threes to come up with like a. Yeah, and then I think in general we have all of it, other than just maybe some of these other things we want to add, like the freight train and
yeah,
the forest lands, and really doesn't change other than actually the. That's the second page of what I gave you guys, but that did have our change since 2010, which unfortunately was a 0.23 hecta-acre loss of tree coverage in
probably
River Forest.
Trees, right?
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Probably the ash trees coming down.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So, Shannon, the Evanston one focuses only on emissions. Do they have a place for the diversion and the forest and...
I don't know. That's a good question.
I bet they do somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, I mean, they have that whole sustainability plan. They must have a section, you know, on that. But this is great. I think what we'll do is try to get you the information, you know, and then clean this up and just start working from there so we could get it in February to present to the... Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. And my last comment would just be this. This is just the appendix of this Climate Action Resilience Plan from
right.
Evanston.
Yeah.
That's like the big dream. That's the leading practice right now. Of
yeah.
like, we're really far from that, but we're step one.
Yeah.
But anyways, if you're interested, that's kind of what the big guns are doing these days.
Yeah, so. It's beautiful.
That's the last page of the Evanston one?
This
no,
is the
they
appendix
have
of you. You have to go online just to
oh,
get
they have
whole
a beautiful
thing.
Plan. It's a sustainability
oh, yes.
comprehensive plan.
Yes.
And it's, yeah. Hmm. It's, yeah. You should look it up. It's got a lot of great ideas in it. Thank you. I feel like we should frame this next to the Soul Smart Award or something.
So draft. It's
know,
so draft,
it's so
though.
Exciting.
Like, and Susan needs to check it probably again because that would be good. But, yeah.
yeah. But, you know, it's good that you compared it, you know, just to kind of see if the numbers are close to what another community, you know, our size would be and stuff. So it's a really great start.
Yeah. So I also think it helps illustrate kind of, like, because these align with kind of our goals.
And that's what
strategy.
That's what the goal
it
is.
Kind of says, well, like, this is a visualization of what we're trying to do.
When I went to your status report mm-hmm. today, I was like, oh my gosh, there's five goals like line up with my sources.
How
that's
about
so
that?
Cool. So,
yeah, moving on to, unless you have anything else to say, that was. I think that we should, because it's going to take some time. My first question is are we planning on presenting in February? Did you check that date?
That's up to you, I mean.
Yeah, what was the date that we were looking at since I wasn't at the last meeting? Yeah, it's in the minutes. It's in the minutes. I'm assuming. Okay. So I think I checked it.
We had said February 10th.
Yeah, that's
Monday, February 10th.
The first meeting in February. Yeah.
Okay, and that's okay with them? Did you happen to check?
I'll have to.
Wait, are you talking about the board or the next commission meeting?
The board
meeting. Okay.
Monday before so that's a 10th.
February 10th. Okay. I'm just looking.
Yes, we can move it if you want to have the February meeting and do it. So do they meet every 2 weeks or once a month?
Well, it depends. Yeah.
The second and fourth Monday of the month.
Mm-hmm. But we could do that.
Probably
two weeks later.
Probably be nice to have a couple more weeks.
Oh, you don't think we can do it February 10th?
I'm kind of looking over at Lisa. I don't know what. 3 weeks away.
Will Lisa make it till then? She might jump out of window.
Hey, yeah, you're all coming with me, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not here the 10th, so that's another reason
why. Okay, we can talk about that later. I think it's in pretty good shape. I think February 10th we'd be ready.
They're not going to have a meeting the 17th, or the 24th. Would be the next one.
So, okay. I'm comfortable. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Team, then it makes sense to have our meeting and then have it. Right?
I don't.
I'm not quite sure how polished it needs to be.
Right. That's what, yeah. I don't think so. So we are going to jump right into the matrix, which is so close. I want to thank everybody for writing their information and getting it to Lisa, and especially to Lisa, who's really, really whipped this into shape. I don't know if anyone, you guys read it. I read through it. It's beautiful. I think this, it is.
It's getting there. Yeah, I think this will be fine. I think we can at least come by the 10th. The question is, what we need to do.
Yeah, and I, so, you know, this has been in the working. I think this is a great document because as any of us shift on and off the board, or it really gave a history, which I didn't realize how much was kind of in, you know, people's heads. So I like that you had the, you know, the strategy, the tactics, and kind of the status. So it gave a little bit of history. I thought that was really important. I like how you gave lists. So this is really kind of a roadmap. What's funny. So I think this kind of elevates us from, you know, as you said, the scrappy to more of a, you know, formalized. So thank you. We should move on and just start talking about Lisa. I don't know if you kind of want to give an introduction.
Sure. I think I tried to, because again, I was trying to craft this. This is the document that my trustees can use before the meeting. So they're going to love us. Mm-hmm. We have to give them to the next meeting to read it, right? But basically, these have to work together. And,
yeah.
And again, like, I think it would be awesome if, you know, we have, here's our plan, guys, right? Something like, you know, I don't know if we can get it into, like, even if it's a graph or something that looks like that. And then here's kind of the initiatives we're doing to get there. Would be kind of, you know, this is our vision, and here's the initiatives to get there. And then what I was trying to do is basically just, it has to be more than the projects. I mean, obviously, we have our mission and our goals. But then I know you and I talked about making sure that, for example, you mentioned that, like, what, you know, kind of Georgia Roystrom gets like bombarded with calls. And at the end of the day, you know, like, this whole kind of the contact matrix, I think, is important because we're dealing with a lot of organizations, and it makes sense to kind of be kind with
those organizations and kind of have some sort of kind of maybe secondary, secondary contact. So this is a working list. I didn't want to make it kind of, I don't even know if it's all inclusive. Like I went through actually the 20, the last year's, and I didn't bring any of my materials because I came straight from work, but I went through the last year's grant and I pulled out as many of the organizations as I could. I had to go through and do it again. But the thought would be that each of these organizations would also would have somebody that's connected to them. And that that's, it means to basically get to know the contact, get to know, you know, have a meeting, you know, once a year to kind of find out what's going on and see if we, you know, if there are opportunities, you know, to work with them. I mean, some of this happens naturally. Obviously, Andy, you know, you're the tree guy. So you've got Morton Arboretum, you've got Bear B-Net, probably the bike consultant, which I don't even know who his name is, you go on here, but I think it's important.
Eric Russell.
The second thing was basically, and I don't know what to call it as a knowledge matrix, but it's, and actually that's why I said, like we all have come from different places in terms of our personal, academic, and professional lives. We have areas of expertise, things we're interested in, things we do for work. Thank you, Shannon, because, you know, I think you're the only one that kind of plays this role. I'll let you know, Beth, you too. Like, I'm an ad person, so I play an environmentalist in the movies. But anyway, this was just trying to make sure that we know who to talk to within our own organization. But then, for example, if we do have somebody that calls to say, you know, we'd like someone to, you know, present on so-and-so about such-and-such, we at least know amongst ourselves who has, you know, who feels comfortable playing that role, who can, you know, who can we, you know, ask for advice and guidance. Right now, a lot of it's in Julie's head. And so part of this whole document process is also to just make sure it's not in somebody's head.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, some of, you know, I know if I win the lottery, you know, you can see me on a, on a beach somewhere. So I might come to one meeting before, yeah. But not more than one. So that's it. And then we get into the project summaries. And I do have to, we have to organize the summaries. And I do want to put like a chart here that says, okay, you know, we, for trees, there's really like some, like there's three projects about, you know, kind of caring for our trees. There's, you know, five projects that makes up gardens. So it kind of, and thank you, Julie, for this. To try to simplify this chart, we actually really just went to kind of what are the high level things. And so, you know, with gardens, for example, you have native gardens, you have the inspirational edible gardens, you've got the community gardens, including the edible gardens at Jackson and Greenfield, as well as the herb garden at Keystone in Iowa. And then you have Pollinator for Parkway Gardens.
Right.
Those are all kind of gardens that would, like four projects under the garden theme.
Right.
And it kind of goes from there. And then, again, thank you very much. You know, Eric, you know, you and I spoke yesterday in terms of renewables and rooftop solar. I did do some.
I saw you did some more.
I did some, yeah, trying to kind of, I get in the zone and I just kind of go.
That's great.
But then, you know, doing that, if, you know, if the three things under renewables, and that's fine, because you know what, like, Eric, you're owning renewables, you have to be comfortable with these projects. And if there's aspirational projects we don't think we should do, we probably should have a list of other things we think we should do in the future.
Right.
And I have it, and that one might be another section that we add.
Like a brainstorming.
It would be really great if we could do X. I'm not sure I would add more projects.
No.
But rather, I'd make a list of future things we can do. Like,
yeah.
Some, like, so for example, the stuff in red that's on the chart. Andy biking, I know we did that big bike plan, and so I did add a page. We should probably have a project, but I'm not even, you know, where we've been and where we're going.
Yeah.
But then ultimately, and then this gets kind of almost beyond us, this whole public transportation, walkability, biking, and parking is related at the town level.
Right.
In terms of, in order to really move forward with a bike plan, we need to address parking, right? And then to increase public transportation, we need to address parking. And I know that there's a comprehensive thing going on, but then how we influence that or how we fit into that becomes something that I think we just have to worry about.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does. And
so that's why a lot of those are red, because that actually need to talk to Kathy about.
Right.
In terms of, like, how does this work and how do we make sure that we're thinking of this? Because we've had to think about it in the pieces and parts, like the bike plan and the walking plan, but it all, I know they feel like it needs to come together because when you put the pieces together, we might have to shift a little bit.
Yeah, and the village would have to probably have some sort of a complete streets policy, right? Formal policy for any future projects to make sure that all those things are being considered and addressed.
So I don't know if it makes sense to go through these individually. I'm happy to. As I was doing some of these things, I am missing some information. That are in yellow. I mean, the big thing.
Yeah,
actually,
and I filled in some of those. Yeah.
Okay. And John, this is for you. Is one of the things that I think really works well, and we should aspire to, is what's happening with, for example, the community garden. Right. We have a resident volunteer who's really, really engaged in that, and she kind of takes it and runs with it. And also the native plantings.
Mm-hmm.
She does. Mary does. Beth, like we just said that it's like Beth, you work with her. You would be the sustainability commission person, but you're
right.
Really working with Mike Sletten from the Park District and Mark,
mm-hmm.
right? And she knows mm-hmm. those are the people. So it really should be a trifecta. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't just be the sustainability commission members, like out doing our own thing, which has gotten us here thus far. But many hands make light work.
Mm-hmm.
For example, on Pollinator from Parkway Gardens. Joan has been like indispensable because she's the one that gets the requests.
Right, right. She does the whole block party, all the block parties.
Right.
Sets them all.
Right.
Right.
So, so she would be like, kind of my contact from the village. She talked to David Murphy directly.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, it would be great to get, a resident who wants to maybe kind of do that, and then you just have a sustainability commission person on it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah, I can jump in here if you want. So I see what you're, so there's kind of three different documents that I'm trying to meld. So it's the inventory. Like we said, it's kind of energy, it's kind of ecosystems and it's waste. So to your point, Lisa, like on the top of all these different projects that you did, I thought instead of naming it renewables, it's the topic is energy and then you do the, and then we put all those together. And then like gardens, it says ecosystems at the top. So then those projects you can have the emissions or diversions, you can see how they're fitting into this. Does that make sense? And it relates to that chart. Because then something.
I think we have to somehow get this chart to relate to this chart, which will relate to this.
Exactly. And you and I can work on that, or I can work on that. Because then this is just really trying to.
That is impressive.
But what's interesting is what we're really trying to do is take the village comprehensive plan and say, we look at the action matrix, and say, if you look at this, and it says, SC, who's the lead board or commission? What's the priority? What's the ease of it? So, coordinate with the Forest Preserve to explore possibility of programs and activities in the area that utilize the Forest Preserve as an educational opportunity. It's Village Board and Sustainability Commission. It's a number two priority. Ease is a C. So, if it's a number one, anything that's a number one on here should be, in our plan. So I was also reviewing these, and then I was going to put the number next to the thing that we're working on. So the bike plan is in here. It's a number one, but it's I forget what number it is, but it's like a
mm-hmm.
E for ease. So you don't have this document,
okay.
But if you print out or review, if you look at the online, the comprehensive plan, the last four pages
okay.
is the action matrix. And then what's really great about it is it lists the other commissions that we could work with to get more information and to get something, coordinate. Some of this is like an F for ease, but it's a number one priority, but that's Village Board. What's TSC?
Traffic and Safety Commission.
Traffic and Safety.
Yeah.
Good. But this is really useful. So we're trying to use kind of the village's language and their priorities to show that you can do these are the programs that support this. So then we also need staff people then. If this is a village priority, mm-hmm. then where are the staff people to support the programs that we're, you know, producing or overseeing? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the next step I was going to do, Lisa, is put any descriptions of programs. I was going to put the action number next to it. So then it's cross-reference. So, you know, it's just being accountable and also we're trying to hold, I mean, not that the village isn't responsible or not accountable, but just showing them the work, how that it's integrated into what the village is already doing so that they don't, you know, it's not like, oh, we wanted to plant a bunch of native gardens. We thought it would be fun. No, there's actually a purpose to it. It serves a goal of the village and, you know, showing that we need the support of, you know, like Joan working for the Parkway, you know, she may just think she's doing green block parties, but it's actually supporting this metric and the diversion of sequestration. So we're trying to tell the story in a bigger picture. So, you know, it's the document's great. I mean, we can present it as it is, but it's just we want to, like, weave it through what the village is doing. So, and go ahead. Mm-hmm.
We're going from this year's budget of, I don't know, $7,600 or something
to $10,000
mm-hmm. because there's just no gardens that we're maintaining. And then, for example, like, you know, I'd asked last year for two more sorted out stations to make mm-hmm. it seven so we can get 100% of the requests. So, does there need to be a part of this that really speaks to our request, not only for potential, you know, increased staff support, but also a budget of some kind?
Yeah, and that also relates to what plans, what are already in, what is the village planning for budget, you know, any plants or, you know, that, you know, Mary can use or, and it also focuses, instead of us going, oh, we've got $5,000, how should we spend it, you know, before the year starts, we're saying, we need $10,000, we have five, where are we going to, you know, instead of us just trying to spend the money, so which is easy to do.
Go ahead, Beth.
Well, I was just going to say that I think it makes total sense to link what we're doing to the comprehensive plan. In terms of how these other three documents relate to each other and the plan, is it possible that these five strategies here can be aligned with the comprehensive plan? I mean, you can align every single individual program as well, but I'm wondering if these five would somehow align, because this would be a higher level at which to ask the board to, when we present them, I'm not sure if we're asking them to approve something or if we're just informing them, but they can't possibly, and we don't really want them to sign off on like each individual program, because those things are going to morph, you know, and some things will continue. But these five strategies, if we could present that at a high level and show how it links the comprehensive plan and get their sort of approval or whatever we're supposed to get procedurally, and then all these other things flow from that. And then these five strategies I would link as well, like all the programs, Lisa. I'm sure you could easily categorize them, right, to fall under these five strategies.
They do already. That's why.
Yeah. Okay.
Renewables is under this. Like these, that's why, like, these are the high level kind of, like, trees, for example. There are the three projects for trees that are part of sequester and carbon.
Okay. So it's just, I'm sure they are aligned. I think it's just a matter of
we have to put them in the right order.
Yeah. And from sort of like a header point of view or something like that. Yeah.
I think that's what Julie was talking about in terms of what is the right header, so it's easy for us to kind of go from place to place. And I think what will help is, that's what I was talking about in terms of in this report on the page that introduces the projects,
mm-hmm.
to kind of take it the next down. So like, if we're basically, if here are the strategies and here's the, and that, you know, the overhead, we're all heading against like this, or like we're focusing on renewables to
Right.
Strategy, what are the three initiatives under renewables?
Exactly.
And then
yeah.
that becomes your table of contents for this,
right.
for this thing.
And then it's probably not that much of a stretch to make the greenhouse gas sources. You know, you have to group some of them together, right, to make them match up to the broader categories, but it seems like it's close. We've got waste and energy, and not so much the greenhouse gas inventory doesn't address the sort of native plant projects that we have so much, so I don't know where that fits in. Well, it would be nice if that could be broader to be ecosystems. I mean, it's a whole nother topic, but I mentioned to Shannon the concept about ecosystem services. So if it's not just trees.
Yeah, I think the protocol I used it was forest and land. So I need to clean it up, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, again, so, okay, so we added some, like, again, so if you're focusing on trees and there's some more, I mean, like, to your point, if it is land, it's green space. It's not only, but that's the problem is it can't just be lawn. Now, if we get the London tree.
Oh, yeah.
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
so
pretty
cool.
Neat, isn't it? That's a huge thing.
Well, but no, the moss is real. It's real moss. It's
no,
just,
yeah. It's a real thing, yeah.
What we can do is actually work to put it on a billboard. I mean, if they can put moss
or
a
roof.
To create a salad for a McDonald's billboard, they can certainly do it for a living moss.
Did you read that email? Okay,
yeah.
Never mind. So, okay, yeah, don't worry about
somebody Andy said.
Okay, so we do have a lot of pieces of paper, but this is also so that if the village is looking at something, or another commission is looking at something, they can look at our information and see what's already being done. So I think we just have to match up at this point the labels, so that you can cross reference this, and so we're close. I don't know if anybody had the chance. Well, nobody probably had the chance to read this, but what would be important next is
to get me any updates.
Yeah, because I have
a. Sorry, you can do another one. But you could do bike steps.
Yeah, sure.
I need to build mine out more as well, Lisa. Yeah.
I just need some history on the alleyway paving, and I think in terms of permeable surfaces, and I don't know if there's anything
right.
else.
There's
that
some.
I can. Yeah, I can give you updates on that, and I can help Andy with the bike. There's an implementation plan for the bike plan going on, so.
Yeah, and you could let him know what the priority is.
Right. The priority for next year is all the non-IDOT routes in the bike plan to be striped and have signage put up. That's the plan right now, but it has to go before the board, the budget meetings and everything, so.
Yeah.
Not set in stone by any means.
Do you have time to connect with that? Is that okay?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I make it just a couple like clarifications for the? So first of all, there's a financial ask in mind, Julie. But I need to figure out what that is. You know, because if we really want to do like aggregation, there's no way we could do that ourselves. We've talked about that before. So I'll work on trying to get some. Just roundabout numbers on.
We need to know. And, like, if we're going to participate in GreenLink, is there.
Or if we need to consult.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I just want to let everybody know, because we kind of changed some of the language in the renewable category. So it was aggregation, individual, community. So just when you look this over, you'll see we've just kind of changed a little bit how it reads. It's now, I think, just more specific. It's rooftop solar. Community choice aggregation, rooftop community. Oh, and then community solar.
So, I don't know if you know what talking about.
Then we have Soul Smart as kind of its own category.
We're writing. There is a student one on there.
So if you have any questions on that when you're reviewing it, just let me know.
So that's good, and I think it is time to add some type of financial. You know, if we need money for it, just to say if we're going to pursue this or we need X support, it should be in there.
I agree. Just spell it out.
Yeah.
Really, both community solar and CCA aggregation needs a consultant.
Yeah.
I'll work on that.
Good. I had one question. Why are we including permeable pavers on here, though, since that is completely a village thing? The Green Alleyway program is not really...
I mean, right. Well, the not necessarily, but I guess what kind of data?
I mean, we can take it out. Again, I just know what the project we're doing.
We can just put something simple in there and say the village has done this many alleys. I mean,
I think from a historical perspective, it would be important just to put that in there.
Yeah,
but
we can
I
just say project complete or project, you know.
Well, it's like ongoing. I mean, we do them every year at this point, so.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you could also think of this document as collecting the village's environmental and sustainability. So even if it's
History.
Towards, well, history, but also ongoing. So any information we have about the upcoming year, what's going to be done. And I know in the Planet Green report, they have estimates on the amount of water diverted. That might be information, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are important things that are feeding into the stuff that we're doing.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
so
I know
that answers that.
The one that we did by Madison Street, we call it the Gale Alley. That was through the MWRD. We got a grant for a portion of that, and we may have some detailed data on that one because it was part of the grant program. The other ones, we may not have detailed data.
I'm pretty sure that one's in the Planet Green, too, if you look underwater.
Yeah.
They have a number in there, so that might be more easily accessible. But, yeah, they definitely do.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course there's all the other permeable.
Right. There's the West Thatcher lot that's
right?
permeable.
And then
pavers.
There's between Roosevelt and the library.
The school's lot, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dominican one.
All of those.
Because that would be actually good. I don't know what that does. I didn't think about this, but if everything is in there.
Right. Then it's just
give it to Gary. It's like here's all your data. Because it's always every year, every other year.
But it's not only for Gary, I think for the village too. And you know, like maybe if it's easily accessible, the years too, because then that would help us as we're looking at our water diversion. We can kind of add those up, and that
mm-hmm.
helps us tell the story. Because we're not just telling the story going forward; we also want to tell the story of what is our progress to now.
Another question: what is the River Forest Green Directory?
We've talked about that. It was on one of the. This is something that I'm beginning to work on. So it's, in a way, and that's why I'm glad to see this, it's very similar to what Lisa has on the second page, which is just, there's all these different initiatives. And I think people who have been doing this for a long time say, oh, well, I know who to call. But if you're new to this and something comes up that impacts different groups, and it's an easy way to reach out. And it's also a way for us to identify the places where we don't have a contact. Mm-hmm. And so trying to get a contact and maybe somebody who communicates with them regularly. So
would it be used by the commission in this packet,
or how would we use it? Ideally,
be
used more widely. So if something came up, if it was online, and you know, we can discuss how much information we want to give out. But you know, ideally, if something came up, you'd go online and you'd say who, you know, if you get an idea, who do you talk about this? Who do you talk about in the schools? Who do you talk about it in the village? Who do you talk about it in the nonprofit institutions?
You just need approval from all those people.
Yeah, I would hope that they would come to us and we would disperse it. But, you know,
I don't know. It was something that Lisa had on a previous version.
Well,
it
came out of a conversation that you and I had.
That we had, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think...
No, I think it's fine if you want to do it. I was just wondering how it would be used and the time and names change and stuff. So I was just wondering.
I mean, we'd have to update it.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, I think even for the purpose of the people on the commission, it would be good because I don't always know who the people are. And
definitely. Okay.
I just have one quick question. I know Shannon has to go, so we can talk about this offline. But in Lisa's draft here on the quantified tracked and report, the KPIs, do you know how that links to what you did? Because, I mean, we can work offline on this, but I wasn't sure how to translate the language. So do you see what you came up with as KPIs, or is KPI something different?
It's a great question. So when I was visioning this, I think with Julie and Katie way back in the day, I think, you know, there's a need for a greenhouse gas inventory that kind of tells you our, you know, impacts on climate right now, right? And obviously everything ties together with that. That's one of the biggest global concerns right now. But one of the other things, like reporting data right now in sustainability, it's both a science and an art. It's kind of telling your story. So you use the science to come up with all the numbers, but then you, I mean, a lot of it's marketing and propaganda too, right? So
exactly.
The concept of that was like, let's get a GHG inventory in place, which ties to all the great initiatives that we're doing, and we can use that to track things over time. But I think there's another opportunity to put key performance indicators for everything that we're doing that may not affect it's going to be hard to drastically change our greenhouse gas inventory, right? But there's all this great stuff we can do, and it's impactful, and I don't want to lose those impacts. And you can measure impacts beyond greenhouse gases. You can measure impacts in both social considerations and other environmental considerations. So, and you want to pick those impacts that, you know, really mean something to somebody. So one of the examples I was using is, you know, this group spends so much volunteer time talking to a lot of groups of people. And it might be cool, instead of saying, you know, we gave X number, you know, we gave 12 talks this year. Maybe instead we talk about how we talk to 3,000 people this year.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be perfect, but
right.
If we start to track those things over time, I think if we come up with some like good ways to track some of this other stuff we're doing, we can tell just a really great story. So that was the other thing I was talking with Susan about, is we'll get the GHG inventory in and then it'll run itself, but it's going to be hard to make big changes year over year. The impacts is the better story, I think. So and we need to track those things throughout the year. So we probably should brainstorm them now and then start tracking them
long term. Yeah. And there are a lot of metrics in here that I just made up.
Perfect.
Good to know.
Well,
but to your point, like, so the number, like, so, like, you know, it's something we can add to here. It might be not that hard if you go through it. You'll see, like, oh, just, you know, even if it evolves over time, because I'm hoping that we can get a list of, like, what we've presented to over time.
And maybe what we do is, like, vision now what our report card for 2020 we want it to look like. And then that way we can just, like, you know, we're all going to get busy, and then people can just start popping numbers into something like, oh, I talked to 30 kids today. Stuff like that.
So this almost makes me think that this quantify, track, and report is actually more something like assess impact or evaluate impact or tell the story of the impact, because what I hear you saying is that the greenhouse gas emissions, that's like, in theory, you could have, like, under tactics where it says you could have a key performance indicator for greenhouse emissions, but we'll have a hard time, like, making that be a big one. So you're suggesting other kinds of impacts and looking at, say, number of people affected instead of number of speaking engagements you did. But what that makes me think of is actually going be where you can really tell stories of impact is going beyond quantitative, and when you go to qualitative. And that actually is an area of my expertise from when I used to do qualitative research, because I was looking at the chart and realizing I have no knowledge, but but impact, maybe that's an area where I can contribute. Because when you look at the impact sections that you have under each of the programs, you know, we could go through and look for certain themes of types of impact, because a lot of times what you're talking about with something like this is not just the one garden you planted, but how you turned that family or the children in that family onto, like, you know, a love of nature or something like that, right? So I guess I would like to suggest that we consider broadening that from quantify, track, and report, which is very numbers oriented and kind of limited that way.
Maybe because we have measure our success, maybe it is measure our impact.
Yeah, something like that.
And then actually I'm thinking that maybe.
But even the word measure is a very quantitative word, so it's, yeah, or evaluate or communicate our impact.
Because that might be something that is actually a row and a column.
A row and a column.
Because it's measuring, you know what I mean? Like if we start saying, okay, let's measure the KCI project, that would be this way and then this way.
Yeah, right. I think that's why I was, I had to get my head around the idea that that was a sheet of it of its own.
The only other thing is I didn't see is kind of like a history of the Green Block parties. I think we kind of started calling it Parkway for Pollinators, but I think we need to some.
The question is, what is a Green Block party?
Right, but I think we need to put it somewhere so that we know the history and that someone needs responsible as we move into the next program after Parkways for Pollinators. And just some other ideas, where do things like preemption work fall into? Like when we're doing work with Go Green Oak Park and we're working on bills and trying to draft up a, I'm just wondering where these things go. Things to think about. I'm not saying
you
we need
just
to
have another list of like
miscellaneous because I was like sustainability school tour.
Quick little bullets or something.
I think so. And also just some point about communication and managing the website. And
I think that is something that has to be under every project.
It totally does. Yeah.
Like, I think that I'm certainly happy to kind of update the page. I'm actually working with
Do you want to talk about what we talked about, though?
Well, yes.
This is it. Yeah.
And I have an answer to that. Yes. Basically, I mean, like, and this is interesting because I think at one point the Green Block Party was, I'm not even sure what it was, but basically this past year, Joan thought it's a Green Block Party if they say, yes, we're having a Green Block Party. And then if we can't give them a, and then if they take a sort of downstation, that's great. And then on top of that, so it's the Parkway for Pollinator Garden. But the question is, okay, do you have to have the, do you have to say you're having a green, like, do you need to do both a pollinator for Parkway and a sorted out station to have a Green Block Party? So it gets into, like, really, what is that? And is the Pollinator for Parkway program more of an activity that's an outreach, an education activity that
and
is
that was
to a block party, whether or not they are.
And that was the initial Green Block Party, was the program.
Right.
Then we have these add-ons.
Green. I'm like, there's nothing green here. And they were like, well, they said it was green. So they kind of lost a little bit of its, like, again, which happens, right? So we're going to work to try to figure it out. And because Pollinator for Parkway program, even David and I have spoken about this already, and we think that it's probably, this is probably its last year, because there's only so many people that want to put a parkway on their, a pollinator garden on their parkway. And we need to make sure that the people that, we don't want to put it on people that don't want it. This year I actually did active follow-up to say, oh, you should do one. And then you get people that really don't want it and they don't take care of it, right? So we just need those people that are really into it. And there'll be some people that'll say, I want to, this year we let people expand their garden. But the people that were really into it on Bonnie Bray, this lady's like, I'll just make mine bigger. We're like, cool. Trinity took one for their kind of, they took two actually for their horticulture program. Lincoln took two, so we're looking at more schools on a going forward basis, but it's kind of wearing out, which happens,
definitely,
right? Because you think about the other programs, and that's why actually, thank you, that history would be really good to know. So we're thinking of actually piloting tree tours on blocks, getting, and I don't know who would do it, but that we could, basically, just do, as opposed to a village tree tour, say, okay, on your block, walk around and
so
say,
cool.
Okay, here's a mighty oak. It's been here 100 years.
Or do a map for kids to identify or something.
That would be awesome.
And do some sort
people
of a tree
would love
education
that.
Program.
Yeah.
So I guess we should add that as I would add under tree tours, quite frankly, and just say, there's two kinds. There's the village and there's then the macro village and micro block.
Would that be for this summer or the following summer?
We thought we could maybe do a kind of a trial this summer to see how it works out and then do a full.
I think it'd be cool.
Yeah.
We could selectively pick, we could see if like our block will do it. You know what I mean? Like, so you can test drive it in a controlled environment, so you're not offering it like on the website. website?
Yeah, we wouldn't offer it on the website, but maybe somebody who we know has a has been saturated by the pollinator thing. Another thing is we thought, and we'd have to get kind of your approval from Public Works, is that maybe the sorted out stations just go with every block party.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, we have some people that don't want them.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. If they don't want them and then they don't take care of them, we've had them stolen before. So we have to we have to be aware of those situations because
so is it just a box that they check?
They're made out of metal and then people just take them.
Yeah.
So
we just
they
okay.
just have to have some ownership.
Okay.
You know.
Then we'll
what
address
about
that.
Changing it to an opt out instead of an opt in.
No, well yeah. We'll just
well they have
right.
to sign
but they may not know
some
that
have to
they
sign a contract.
Yeah,
yeah,
they may not know
they're
so
financially responsible for them when they take them. So it has to be opt
in. Okay, so we'll think about that.
Aren't most of the block parties green at this point? So
yeah, most of them.
Most of them are, but
yeah.
we've had people that don't want one for whatever reason.
Right.
And then we have some that we, and that's why I want more, because we have some that want them and then we can't give it to them.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, right.
So we want to look in the
right.
budget and see
okay.
if we can purchase
we
more.
We can probably
just, you know,
get
like
some more.
Yeah.
Joan is the master at the, you know, at the variable letter, the email.
Yeah, she's good at that. So, okay. All right,
and
so then
I look at it as a success that basically everyone's just it's just everyone's green now. We don't need to call it a thing anymore, right?
Yep. That's
I would
positive.
Say there's opportunity for actually the separation using
yeah.
a sorted out station.
Right.
I think that a lot of people what they think is recyclable is not recyclable. What is compostable is not compostable. So
okay.
I believe that like to say otherwise that most of the stuff that's sorted ends up in the trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's more education.
The numbers can be confusing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. People see a little recycling time and they just assume that it's recyclable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, so those were the only
yeah.
things that I saw
okay,
on
so
this.
I have Eric, you're going to blow out solar. Andy, you'll work on biking. I can work with you on Julie on the Green Block Party.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can do something about...
I'll do a miscellaneous page.
Lobbying and legislation.
Well, we'll just do a miscellaneous page.
Okay.
I'll match
then,
up the goals.
Ellie, do you have any projects that we should...
Well, didn't we have the student on here? Didn't you have a student page?
She's listed, and I didn't know your... I didn't know the status of your project, so I couldn't do a lot of creative writing. So.
Oh. Well, it's been like pretty successful, the school supply thing.
So we should add that as a waste diversion one.
Yeah.
Yes,
and add Eric on as well. And if the tree tours become official, I would love to do something on my block. I like trees.
Yeah, I would love to work on that too.
We have a pilot program of two already.
There you go. I have one question. So this waste diversion, so you have like pumpkin smash in here. I'm going to muddy the water a little bit. The pumpkins go into our, because it's serving, that number goes into our residential waste because it's serving residents. District 90, the waste, that's an outreach and that's good. But like, is that waste diversion if it's not going into our numbers? Do you know what I mean? Like, well, you said, oh, we could put that under waste diversion, the school supply.
But I see
that more
email.
As
okay.
outreach and education.
That's fine. I can do that.
Okay. Oh, well, that was easy. I was expecting an argument there. Okay. Good. I just mean, I want to be just really sensitive to the things that are feeding our numbers because it's, I think this is where
yeah,
we.
That's going to be hard to measure anyway.
Yeah. Thank you so
Thank
much,
you,
Shannon.
Shannon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to wrap up in a little bit here. I think this is where we can get easily bogged down, is I think we need to focus on residential first and get that really going. And then as we have those programs going, then we can do outreach. Because people, I mean, just trying to stay sane, you know, because we did some commercial in here, which I would love to see happen. But I think we need to take the things that are feeding our numbers first and, you know, educating our residents. Because, like, commercial, Like Dominican, we can work with them all day long on composting, but those don't go into our numbers. You know, I could get, you know, Jewel to, you know, to divert plastics, but that doesn't go into our numbers. Not that that's not important for the community, but and for outreach for what we do, but we need to think about what we do for residents and the village itself. So I don't want to get, you know, too far ahead that institutions and stuff. Do you know, does that make sense? If they go hand in hand, I just
go hand in hand because I mean I hear you. It doesn't go into our numbers, and we might not be able to measure it unless we work with Dominican. But
it's important. Don't get me wrong. I just I don't want to have people burn out and start focusing on that stuff when it's
when you say our numbers, what do you?
Well, all the you know the numbers that are in the numbers that Shannon's doing, the residential numbers. They're
so her waste diversion numbers are residential only.
It's all residential.
I see.
Yeah.
The school supplies though are bought by the residents though. I mean they'd be taking them out of the
see that's good.
I mean you
yeah.
bring them home and then you throw away the scissors.
Yeah, that's kinda true
so
too.
Ideally, just
yeah.
I know
no, that's okay. Yeah, no. Oh no, you're that's good. No, it's an important part of it, definitely. So
well and I mean in theory, if I mean it's a much bigger project, but in theory, the institutions in River Forest they are contributing to the greenhouse
yes.
gases. So any reduction in that is, it, I mean, I just didn't realize that this was residential only. So just something to think about
right.
in explaining what we are and aren't measuring here.
Yeah.
So you're saying that, that this also, when you're talking about the natural gas, I see she does have the word residential there and electricity. We're not including institutions. Okay.
Yeah?
I don't.
No? I thought you were going to say something big. Well, anyway, we probably don't need to talk about this anymore. I think it's just working offline to clean this up and then, yeah. So, Lisa, you just have to let us, if there's specific stuff you need, I would just ask everybody to get back to Lisa as soon as possible if she sends you an email.
Yeah, the one thing, yeah, everybody, I mean, I guess I have, look, updates and edits, complete missing work, list of
some incomplete parts, yes.
But there's not that much left, if you think about it. I think a list of projects. Then my question is, this is a big one, is, you know, I'm assuming that the owners of these projects are the owners, so I think we do have to go through and just confirm who's taking what on and what that means, you know, kind of to be an owner. So in theory, on a going forward basis, next year, this would be,
this plays
the
this
would be updated by the owner
report.
Reflecting what they did.
Exactly, yep.
Mm-hmm. So it's like kind
part
of
this
a,
report.
Yeah.
Just go into it.
Once you name
be like
is
a separate.
Top, connected, yes. And I will say on some of these,
too big
I named it on the top because I did a cut and paste.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some that obviously are mine, like IPM and other ones that the Kelly family and stuff like that. But if somebody else wants to take on any project,
yeah.
I mean, I'm happy to give up anything I've got.
You just need to be
oh, I do
that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we do have to confirm that. And then to your point, if we have projects that just don't have owners, we have to think hard about, you know, what we do with that.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to give you updates.
So, like yours goes here. Right?
And then.
I'm just trying to sort of think how that this fits
can
in.
Can you read the whole thing?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I did.
Somebody else had a reading, so I couldn't do it.
I totally.
And I'm just saying, like, I have all your waste diversion stats for the recycling extravaganza. I just haven't put them in yet.
Yeah, that's okay.
One question. So. I know we talked about the plan matrix. How does that fit into this report? Is that going to be one of the early? Is that going to be part of this or separate? So this.
I mean, I think.
I know they tie in together.
Yeah, I think this almost becomes a cover page. I'm seeing this a little differently now.
Because now we have that. You have this, which leads to this, which leads to this.
Yeah, and I think there's a way
so
to
we
maybe.
We just have to figure out how. To simplify this, because I think also this has our mission on it, our stuff, so we just have to like figure out how it all connects.
Well, everything probably has to, you know, fit into the plan in certain of these documents. Oh, yeah. I hate to make this like an appendix because it's really more like the cover sheet, but because it's longer, but where you say this document is comprised of four sections, this probably has to be one of the sections, right?
Yeah, I get it.
Good point.
February 11th. I also sent out the meeting dates. I got that June doesn't work for you, and there was a date.
Who's expected to be at the February 10th board meeting? All of us, or?
Well, now that we've talked about this, do you think that we should have one more meeting, or do you think that we? I think we should just go ahead.
I don't necessarily know that we need another meeting. I just am thinking that week then means
February 10th will work, you know.
Yeah, anybody that can make it. It's not mandatory.
I'm out of town, but
okay.
And then the commission will meet the next night.
Yeah, will you be there for the commission meeting?
No.
No. Okay. Can you get this stuff done by February 10th?
Oh, yeah. Before the 10th.
Well, before the 10th.
Well, yeah. I mean, it has to be done. 10.
My mind's close enough where I'll get it done.
Probably it'll all be done by the end of the month.
Yeah, it'll get done.
Yeah, because it needs to go to the board February 6th.
Yeah,
okay.
Need to read it. And so I need time to like edit it and send it out and have to look at it one more time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so is that doable or no?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
yeah, it's a couple weeks away.
Done by February 6th because that's when it would go out to the board.
Is there anything else that I could focus on since the supply thing is coming?
Yes. We're going to put you on trees.
Yeah.
You're going to develop the parkway, or you're going to develop the next green block party.
Right.
Because you know what people would want to do with the park.
Yeah.
Is there anything in particular that you have that you had in mind?
No, that's what I'm asking. I don't know. I've been focusing on this project.
I
could think about it.
Yes.
Is there anything you want to do? I mean, you have a copy of this.
Yeah, I mean, you should think about what you want to do and how it relates to school, but we have plenty of things that...
I'm a big fan of trees.
Okay, good.
I'd be up for working with Ellie on trying to pilot something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Okay, so just so I have consensus that, just so we can move on from the matrix that... that we could, anyone, I will present at the meeting on February 10th. We'll send this out to them ahead of time. You'll confirm that the meeting can take place.
Right.
And we will get any updates to Lisa. And like I said, it doesn't have to be perfect. This is going to keep changing. I just want to get it into an explainable, you know. I do think the energy is very important. So it puts some pressure on you, Eric, because... And I can talk to you offline. The conversation I had with Gary today, it's going to be, you know, several different things that we pursue at one time. I know we're trying to, I talked to him about aggregation. He thought that was definitely a good idea. I know we've had trouble getting a hold of anybody. He's going to get me another name of somebody to contact. You know, so kind of what is our strategy for the next, you know, year to secure anything? And I know Gary's working on this GreenLink proposal, but while we're doing that, we should also look into any type of aggregation. And, you know, that solar inventory that you did should be in this report as well. Mm. Okay. So that somebody knows that exists.
Hey, John, can we get an updated version of that? I can send you a reminder.
Okay.
I think it's because it's been 4 or 5 months.
What information do you need?
I'll send you. So that's that pulling the permits to see if any additional solar installations have been done.
Okay. Yeah, send me a reminder. We can get that.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, because then somebody knows that they have to update that. And also, I need to talk to you. Yeah. So I have some questions for you. All right. then we'll plan on that. If anybody can attend the February 10th meeting, it's always nice to have more people there, but of course it's not mandatory. I know there's plenty of meetings, and we will plan on meeting February 11th. And like I said, if there's just any emails that you get from Lisa or me, if you could just respond, you know, as quickly as possible, that'd be appreciated. So
I'll just say kudos to Lisa. This is like an amazing.
This is so great.
Yeah, it did just. I think it makes us look pretty good.
Yeah, I know it's painful, but it's.
I mean, you guys gave me all the information.
Well, and I think
it represents an amazing amount of work.
Yeah, just to document the history of. Because I hear about things, but I don't know.
Well, and I have to say, Susan, you were some of the impetus for this, because I realized once, you know, our initial commission was changing, you were like, what's this? I'm like, well, just, you know, it's the group in Oak Park. I mean, you didn't know, and I realized how much this I was kind of keeping.
Yeah, I mean, if as the people change, we have to document this, because all of the institutional knowledge is going to walk out the door, and then there's not going to be anybody that knows the history of this stuff.
And that's why it's important once it's done, the owner every year as part of planning. And that's why to Shannon's point, we have to get the metrics right in terms of making sure that we do track. And again, like, you know, all the information is with the individuals, but we need to get it from the individuals into the organization. And that seems like this kind of a deck. And I don't know, it would be great if somebody's an IT, you know, person that, you know, maybe we can
change it.
But I think if you want this to be a live document that's changing all the time, if we have a Google Doc, then we can all go in and change things. Mm. So when we come to the end of the year, just there's a little cleanup instead of, you know, you being bombarded with emails, and everybody can do the changes themselves.
Yeah, no, this is a one time. I'm creating and then retiring from.
Yeah, yeah, no, you do not have to do this again. So okay, well, I have nothing else to say unless somebody else has some comments. Great. And we're adjourned. Thank you.